As I was contemplating scripture for this morning, being not only Stewardship Sunday, but also the week of Thanksgiving, I thought long and hard about what would be the appropriate scripture passages. And I thought it was only right that we share what we consider to be the greatest hymn of praise out of the Psalter, and that is Psalm 103. This will be a psalm of thanksgiving and praise for this very special week. So hear now Psalm 103, a psalm of David. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, on this holy Sabbath day, as we gather in your name to ponder the future of our church, your church, Lord, and as we look forward to a day of thanksgiving, we just pray that you will continually remind us that it is through you that all of our gifts are received. And Lord, we now pray that you will open our hearts and our minds, inspire us with your spirit as we hear your word proclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen. Out of the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6a. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with all people, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is the word of the Lord. Well, this week of Thanksgiving, it is also a week that we chose to call our stewardship week, a week when we begin our stewardship campaign in earnest. And when the session asked me to do a stewardship sermon, it occurred to me that thinking about stewardship and Thanksgiving in the same context is really quite appropriate. And for many of you, you know that I am not a big fan of doing stewardship sermons, because I know that most people equate stewardship and stewardship sermons with asking for money. And that's why I wanted to begin this morning by saying to the youth that stewardship is not just about money, it is about making our church the very best that it can be. It's about contributing in many ways to the future of this church. Whatever gifts God has given us to bring glory and honor to Him, we most assuredly want to be thankful. And while we should be thankful each and every day, it is during this week of Thanksgiving that we are reminded to pause, to take time to reflect on the many gifts that God has given us. And we do give thanks. And so, as I was pondering the appropriate scripture passage for today, it occurred to me that we should be wrapping our thankfulness and our commitment to the future of this church in a vision for the future. If we truly believe that God has the power through the Holy Spirit to continually change us and refine us as better stewards of the faith, then our vision for the future should be centered in God's Word, and it should be centered in a vision of the new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth. Today's scripture passage is a revelation that came to the Apostle John while he was exiled to the island of Patmos for his activities as a Christian missionary. Revelation was written when Christians were entering a time of persecution, most likely around the year 95. It was some 60 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And so John would be getting up in years at the time of his revelation. John writes to encourage the faithful to resist the demands to worship the Roman emperor. John tells his readers that the final showdown between God and Satan most certainly will occur, but those with faith in Jesus Christ and his return must stand fast. John says we are sealed against any spiritual harm, and we will be vindicated when Christ returns, when the wicked are forever destroyed, and when God's people enter an eternity of glory and blessedness. And I thought, wow, what a message as we look to the future. Friends, this day does mark the beginning of our stewardship campaign for the coming year and beyond. This is a wonderful opportunity to begin talking about our vision for this congregation's future. This is a wonderful and perhaps preordained opportunity to talk about the new relationship that we are building between this body of believers and our neighbors. It is a time to lift up to God our hopes and prayers for how we want to grow spiritually, both individually and as a church. It's a time when, if new things need to be tried, this is the time to bring new ideas forward. If each one of us needs to recommit our lives to a faith journey with Jesus Christ, then this is the time. In other words, it is a time to begin talking about stewardship in the broad sense. This is not just about money. Stewardship is ensuring that our church is a vibrant and healthy vessel for furthering the message of Jesus Christ. Each of us has something we can bring to further the cause of stewardship. And having said that, I cannot escape the fact that, of course, money to support the congregation is important. Let's not be shy about that. Money allows us to pay the bills, which is essential, of course. But our business, if you will, is different as a church. We cannot and should not try to put a monetary value on what we receive. We cannot pass the cost on to the consumer. And that is why we are in the business of faith. Each year, we trust God to provide for our needs, and each year, God is faithful. As long as we too are being faithful to God, we have every reason to believe that He will continue to meet our needs. But now let's turn to that broad picture of stewardship. When I say that we are in the business of faith, it's not just about our needs as a congregation, hardly. That is just where the faith journey begins. Our business is to prepare ourselves to bring the true message of faith and hope to our family settings, to our neighbors, to our whole community. The banner in our narthex says that the three goals, our three major goals, are one, to grow spiritually, two, to be the center of our community, and four, to be a part of the outreach with the good news of the gospel. Our faith mission reaches out to those who need to hear about the love of Christ, to those who need to see the generosity of a church family who is able to help in a time of trial, to those who need to know that friendship is about more than just socializing, but rather is about being there to help someone through the dark and lonely times of illness or grief or joblessness or disappointment or remorse. Our friendship to the community is available to those who have made a mistake and need to know there is real forgiveness that stems from our personal faith in Jesus and His redemption. We need to know that the message of Jesus Christ is for young people trying to grow up in a confusing world of peer pressure, where it seems that our primary way of communicating has become through a phone and social media. But as a church, we know that a phone cannot love nor feel love. And social media cannot replace the one-on-one heartfelt conversations that go deep into our souls. Dr. Larry Crabb, a Christian psychologist, wrote a book called Soul Talk, where he describes the need for those who are spiritually hungry to engage in conversations that go deep, ones that cut through the trivial small talk of superficiality. And the conversations become honest, exciting, and exciting experiences with the soul. That cannot happen through a text message or social media. And the opportunity for that kind of conversation is what we should be offering, not only to our young people, but to all of us who want to grow spiritually. When we think of stewardship in those terms, then maybe we can begin to look at John's revelation in today's scripture. His vision of the new creation was written with hope and faith for the future. The dream of a new heaven and a new earth was a dream that was deep in Jewish thought. God said to Isaiah, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind." There is to come a time of joy in which old sorrows will be forgotten. Isaiah speaks of the new heaven and the new earth in which life will be one continual act of worship to God. That vision is always there, and the elements of it are always the same. Sorrow is to be forgotten, sin is to be vanquished, darkness is to be at an end, the temporariness of time is to turn into the everlasting eternity. This vision of a new creation is rooted in Scripture and theology for generations, and it stems really from three things that are ongoing in the lives of humans. It is a witness to the unquenchable longings in the soul of humans. In this world, it seems that no matter how much we have, it's never enough, and there's always a longing for more. It is a witness to humanity's inherent sense of sin. Instinctively, we feel the need to be changed, the inadequacy of life itself, the desperate need of what can only be called a new creation. And it is a witness to our faith in God. The ones who dreamed of the new world were certain that God would neither leave them nor the world as they are, but rather the God who created the world would recreate a new and better world to replace the one that was spoiled by the sin and sorrow of humanity. When John speaks in the book of Revelation of the heavenly Jerusalem coming down from heaven, he is using ideas which were perfectly familiar to those who believed in an unseen world, where all things existed in their perfect and ideal forms. And here is faith. Even when Jerusalem was battered and broken, the Jews never lost their faith that God would restore it. True, they expressed their hopes in terms of material things, gold and gems, and prosperity and plenty. Just as we, as a congregation, must rely on certain material things to sustain us, and we recognize those needs as a part of stewardship, they are merely symbols of the great certainty with God that we have a future that is in the hands of God. And here is the promise of fellowship with God with all of its precious consequences. God is the God who can take a human life and recreate it, and is also the God who will someday create a new universe for the saints who live as he has renewed. We, as believers by faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, are among those saints. And so when God says to John, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," Alpha being the first letter of the Greek alphabet and Omega being the last, he is saying, "I am the beginning and the end." In Revelation, John is saying that all life begins with God and all life ends with God. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And if we truly believe that, and as believers in Christ, we say we do, then it makes our goals for stewardship of the church a little easier. Our lives come from God. Our lives go to God. Each of us individually has been given a gift that can be used to bring glory and honor to the one who brought us here. Some have gifts of abundance, others gifts of service, or gifts of talent, or gifts of listening and caring. In this season of stewardship, let us pray for God's guidance as we contribute our gifts to the future health and vitality of this congregation, the Presbyterian Church of Floyd, which can be a mighty and powerful voice in the overall church of Jesus Christ. And let us remember that we all have been given the greatest gift, the gift of salvation by the unconditional love of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, it is that gift of love that we want to share with one another, with our neighbors, with our community, and with the broadest swath of the world that God will allow us to reach. So during this week of Thanksgiving, let us be thankful for our faith in a risen and living Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, through love you have made us, and by your love you have redeemed us. Thank you for loving us the way you do. Help us to find strength in your compassion and forgiveness. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. Give us your Holy Spirit that we may serve you with willing hearts, bearing witness to your abundant mercy in all the world. And help us to discern your will, Lord, as we contemplate the gifts we possess that we can bring to your church and to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Help us to be bold. Cast away those feelings of unworthiness and help us to sense your call upon our lives. This day we pray for those who are sick or grieving or lonely. Give them your comfort, we pray. Lord, we do continue to remember Janet Allen Chin. We pray that she will feel your comfort. We pray that you will comfort her family. And Lord, for those who are going through difficult times of any kind, we pray that you will touch their hearts with transforming love. We pray for the world around us, for our leaders, for those who are entrusted with making right decisions. Please give them the will to look to the common good and to be forthright in their dealings with all people. And Lord, as there are those who suffer from natural disasters, whether it be fires or earthquakes or floods or hurricanes or whatever it might be that is affecting people the world over, we just pray, Lord, that those who are experiencing times of great trial will, even in the midst of that, find some solace, some peace, some understanding that you are there and are with them. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.